Welcome to this week's edition of Mountain Outhouse. I'm your host, Jam Jam. This is the craziest to happen in running this week. This week's stories include Lake Sonoma 50 recap, Hawks' Zion FKT, and Boston Marathon fashion. A lot happened this week, and we're here to cover it all. Let's jump into it. Our main feature this week is a compilation of stories from the final Ultra Golden Ticket race of the season, the Lake Sonoma 50 Mile. If your idea of a great ultra combines delicious single track and stunning views paired with an endless number of local wineries, this race is for you. It was my new favorite runner, Yao Wang, aka Magic Squid, who led the entire way in the ladies' field, snagging that golden ticket. She was on a mission and crushed the field for the second year in a row. Also turning up for Sonoma for the other golden ticket was 2015 Western States champ Magdalena Boulay, who looked comfortable throughout, coming in second, holding hands with 2016 States champ Casey Lichtai, who cruised with her pal the entirety of the race. The men's tickets ended up rolling down to 4th and 5th place finishers Zach Zabluski and Jared Burdick after the race's top two finishers, Sage Canaday and Dakota Jones, expressed their disinterest in running States this year. Speaking of Dakota, Sonoma finisher Casey Lichtai, aka Pixie Ninja, tweeted out post-race that Jones is now following her on Twitter, upping his following count to 32. Dakota, if you're out there listening, what will it take to get a follow, bro? Do I have to podium to be worthy? P.S. You're great. Third place finisher for the men, I'm told, was Errol Rocket Jones, of which we have an official clip now.
Look, Rocket is third! Rocket! Rocket!
Podium spot, bud! Podium spot!
What's that? Okay, actually, that was apparently a bandit runner, and after his disqualification, rightful third place finisher Chris Mocco also did not claim one of the golden tickets, as he's already in the big dance, thanks to his top 10 finish last year. Speaking of Mocco, here's a short segment from our first ever Finish Line interview. For the full deal, check out a separately linked video below. Jam Jam.
And hearing it first.
MoccoBlog.com, check it out. We'll put that on the screen below.
Exclusive news for you guys. You're the first to know about this.
Jam Jam exclusive.
If you can zoom in here. I recently launched my own website, which is of course what every runner does. So if you go to MoccoShow.com.
There's a show?
It's a show.
This year's race was a bit of a mudfest, with heavy rain saturating the course earlier in the week. The clouds broke by race day and runners were treated to excellent conditions, but the lingering wet spots on the course caused quite a few falls. We recap a few of those now. Right now I'm just hanging out waiting for the top women.
Did you get that?
Western States' own RD, Lord Balls, was seen out on the course in his continued buildup towards running in this year's 100 miler in June and the infamous 10-year bet. We have an exclusive interview with him on course. Jam Jam, to you.
Jam Jam reporting live from Lake Sonoma, and we're trying to see if Lord Balls is taking care of that chafing problem. Here he is now.
Oh, looks good.
Nipples are good, thanks. Thanks, Jam Jam.
I'm just talking to myself in this whole program, basically. The other big race taking place this weekend was, of course, the Boston Marathon. Again, lots to cover, so buckle up, folks. First, we go to the Expo for some insight on spring run fashion with our correspondent, known as Varner.
Hey, this is Varner reporting from the Boston Marathon Expo. We're wandering around, exposing ourselves every which way.
Varner, please don't go exposing yourself every which way. Let's see some of that fashion.
And it is incredibly overwhelming, as giant expos tend to be. People every which way waiting in line to test out the latest in recovery and treadmills and clothing and shoes. And what better way to spend your afternoon before a marathon than by walking around an expo for 3 hours and running on a treadmill? The nice thing about the expo is if you forgot anything, you can pick it up. For instance, your Tesla.
Varner seems to be distracted by the Tesla. Thanks for reporting.
Forgot my Tesla at home. Should pick one up for race day.
Well, we noticed a couple fashion trends popping up already, and they are most certainly on opposite ends of the spectrum. First, it was Tommy Rivers-Pusey, who not only smashed his marathon PR once again by running a 2:18 and qualifying for the Olympic trials, but doing so in a pretty sweet crop top. The first we've seen in 2017. Although not actually worn in the race, both Mike Wardian and Meb Keflezighi posted photos on Twitter lounging in their bright pink T-Mobile onesies. Now, I admittedly haven't been a fan of onesies until now, so help me out by tweeting towards T-Mobile CEO at John Laguerre to send me a pair. It might be John Laguerre, and if so, I just f***ed up this whole thing. Now onto the race itself. Looking at the results, surprisingly, across the men's podium, it was a clean sweep of the Nike Zoom Vaporfly 4%. It also took two of the top three spots in the ladies' field. Is there any stop to the 4% in 2017? Stay tuned, as it is rumored the first Nike Sub 2 attempt will take place the first weekend in May on a 1.5-mile-long Grand Prix racetrack in Italy. Further back in the pack, there was serious drama unfolding at the finish line. We all know what happened to Brian Morrison at States back in 2006, when a new precedent was set for athletes not capable of reaching the finish of a race under their own power. Fast forward to 2017, and now some are calling people heroes for being carried across the finish line of a marathon. Come on now. Lord Balls was even recently approached by a reporter asking if people in the Western States 100 were allowed to be carried across the line. Wake up, people. That's a big hell no. This disturbing trend is covered more in detail by Beast Coast correspondent, The Jizz.
Hey, Outhouse Nation, how you doing? It's the Jizz reporting in from the Beast Coast. Hey, this has been big Boston Marathon week out here. You see, it's been beautiful weather and all kinds of drama at the finish line. I don't know, the finish line of the Boston Marathon always has a fair amount of drama, but somehow this year, the governor of Massachusetts thought that it would be cool to take a video and tweet out footage of a bunch of people carrying another guy across the finish line. I don't know about you all, but that is not Beast Coast. That's not Least Coast, and that's not Best Coast. That's just Lame Coast. So let's stop this carrying runners across the finish line and get through under our own power and make Blow Up Arch proud. From the Beast Coast, it's the Jizz.
Hayden Hawks flew through Zion this past weekend with a new FKT of the 48-mile-long Zion Traverse in 6 hours, 50 minutes. This is over 30 minutes faster than that set by Mike Foote and Justin Yates in 2013, which was the previous fastest known time. His main sponsor, Hoka, took this opportunity to donate $10,000 to the National Parks Foundation. Pretty cool stuff, guys. Not immediately available for comment, it appears Whiskey Man, aka Michael Versteeg, who set the FKT on the Arizona Trail this past fall, is rocking a pretty fierce mullet. Also the first we spotted in 2017. No word on whether this statement will catch on. Want to run an ultra in Iceland? It's super scenic, an exotic locale, and something to brag about on your blog. Okay, wait, not so fast. The Iceland race, which is a 10K marathon 100K, set to take place July 8th via Alpine High Events, claims to organize events around the world and is now taking your dollars for entries. Only problem, according to Iceland Mag, it may not be real. No permits have been pulled, and the company appears to have gone dark, not replying to any emails. Furthermore, their physical address is apparently that of a campground in Colorado. That's shady as f***. As if cycling nonstop across the US wasn't dangerous enough, the annual 3,000-mile Race Across America bike race now has a beer sponsor. Boulder Beer jumped on board as a partner this month. Thankfully, they will only be providing beverages at the post-race festivities and banquet. In other beer news, it seems the Beer Half Marathon is finally getting some press. We've been highlighting this event for months now, but after someone reportedly set a new record and posted a YouTube video gone viral, people are going a bit nuts. Only problem with the supposed record is that it doesn't follow established beer mile rules, which are the logical starting point for beer half rules. Dude, number one drank his first beer prior to the event start.
Hopefully it's beautiful enough for 13 more.
Number two shotgunned his beers. Number three drank Coors Light. And number four threw up. Sorry, but nice try, guy. In clean sport this week, a bit of a Twitter storm erupted after Stephanie Howe-Violet tweeted, and I quote, "It's a sad day when you learn a role model in running has used EPO and is openly speaking about clean sport. Hashtag, are any of you clean?" This clearly ignited the interest of many in our sport to find out who the heck she was talking about. Stephanie refused to name names, claiming the information is not public, but conversely, that this person did testify in court. She also alluded that we will, quote unquote, figure it out. Okay, Stephanie, we get it you are frustrated, but now so are we. Go ahead and tell me. I'll out the bastard. But seriously, folks, this is one of my gripes with the clean sport movement. It's so easy to just draw an infinity sign on your body, but talk is cheap and there are liars among us. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. If you have crazy stories to share, or if you personally know T-Mobile CEO John Laguerre, tweet us at Mountain Outpost. Have a shitty week. Looks like you're petting something back there. What are you petting? Party in the front, business in the back.